flank. That's all he says. And Onyx knows what he's doing, and so he's going to attack the troll, Cyrolus first.
With advantage, do it.
Do that. So close. 24.
24 hits.
And a 19, so close to...
Oh, almost.
10 points of damage.
10 points of damage.
Okay, so now the other consideration, so if Onyx tries to move away, he's going to get attack of opportunity. I can block that, or Onyx can stay engaged right now and do a bonus attack. Well, okay, if Cyrell thinks he's going to get attack of opportunity anyway, he's going to tell Onyx to attack. Does Onyx get flanking with me now?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
So roll and add 6 to your d20.
Okay. 17.
17 hits. Roll damage, it's 2d6 plus 4.
The other one was a 1, so glad for that advantage. 2d6 plus 4. Onyx is amazing. He does 14 points of damage.
As you stab into the troll's back, its arms kind of arch a little bit and its back bends towards you as it yells out in pain. At the same time, Onyx rears up and kicks forward as hard as it can, driving its hooves into the chest. You actually hear the crack of bone as Onyx smashes the rib cage of the troll. And this is as you're digging your sword into its back. And when Onyx kicks up, rears up, and slams its hooves into the troll, it throws the troll back onto your blade even further, sinking all the way down to the hilt as you hear the troll let out this gargling death rattle, and it falls to the ground. And as it does, your sword just slides out of it instinctively. That troll is dead.
First kill to Onyx. Yeah. Good job, boy. You're getting extra credit. Or extra credit. Extra carrot. Yes.
Unfortunately, Onyx got the killing blow and all the experience. So.
He doesn't do it first time.
No. All right. That was a great turn there, Cyrell. Haley, you're up. Nebuchadnezzar,
okay,
you're on deck.
So right now I'm standing between unconscious Dala and the other troll, right?
And the other troll, which has yet to be hit by a single attack.
Yep. He's at full health.
I'm going to use one of my poison arrows.
Okay.
And I'll make a called shot for the ear.
Oh my gosh.
Guys, I need someone to take some to get front line, please. Anybody?
Dude, Nina. Me and a horse are attacking the whole other troll by itself.
It's all, I mean, it makes sense like you're here with your bow. I'm not blaming you. I'm not going to blame anybody, but just know Mr. Chad over here is he's starting to come to terms with himself and with his decisions he's made in life, you know.
You said it's with disadvantage?
Yeah, that's with disadvantage.
Since I am engaged with a troll, does that still count as a flanking bonus?
Ranged attacks do not benefit from flanking.
Okay.
10.
Do you still have my inspiration d6?
Oh.
We're gonna get to use it.
33% chance.
11.
Nope.
It's like, wait a minute. I'm inspired.
Right? All she was a 5 or a 6, but.
All I'm saying, John, is that 3 arrows have shot straight into the air. It's like it's into leaves. That's all I'm saying.
Your arrow sort of glances off the side of the troll's neck. It's stone-like flesh deflecting the tip of the arrow as the shaft kind of cracks and it veers off course. Unfortunately, not finding purchase in the flesh of the troll. Nebuchadnezzar.
Okay, so looking on my stats here, Because I remember that we got... I got the one... Because it says I have two vials of poison, but then I said I had one more that was not messed up. Because there were some that I made, and I think one gave to me, if I was correct,
yes,
a few sessions ago.
Adrahel gave you one, and then you made your own.
Yeah. So with the one that he made as like kind of my bonus action, I'm going to pour that on my hammer.
Okay.
And I'm just going to hit this guy and just hope I can hit him. Like, that's kind of that. So
you're going to hit a troll with a blunt weapon, hoping for the poison to do something?
Yes. Because here's the thing is, like, when you get hit with a warhammer, like, if you got hit by a hammer in real life, it would not just bruise you. It would still break your skin. It may not break it as much, but the skin would still split.
I mean, I agree. I'll allow it. If it's stone-like flesh tears under the warhammer.
Oh, yeah, it will. Don't worry about that, dude. I'm not worried about that,
John.
Lord? Lord!
This is flanking, so remember, you have advantage.
Oh, good. Thank you for reminding me. Okay. Oh, okay, I got a 18.
That hits!
Yeah.
All right.
This troll can be attacked.
All right, so that's one die 10 for my warhammer, because I'm doing it two-handed. Plus a die 6, plus extra 2 damage for my rage. So
is it only a die 6? Because it was a whole bottle of poison.
Yeah, the poison itself only does a d6.
Yeah.
On each attack.
Okay, I got a 13 damage on it.
13 damage. Respectable.
I feel respected. I feel acknowledged. And I feel like I'm about to take a pretty heavy hit.
As you rummage through your sack very quickly, pull out a vial, pop the cork off with one thumb, dump it on your hammer, and then just swing as hard as you can. You actually connect into the hip of the creature, and you hear a crack of a bone and a yelp of pain. As you do manage to tear open the flesh, the poison seeping into the wound. You notice it kind of slump over, and it's one of its legs gets a little numb. Its first attack against you will have disadvantage due to the paralyzing nature of this poison. So the first attack, first I rolled a 17, but with disadvantage, I rolled a 13.
It misses me barely, because I have a 14.
14 AC, okay.
14.
So with its club, it swings, and it just hits the ground right next to you, and actually sinks into the earth a couple inches. It pries the club out with that hand, and then just makes this arm bar kind of attack, trying to slam you with its forearm.
Good full forearm, guys.
That is 21 to hit.
Okay, miss. I was actually doing my math here. And what did you roll for damage?
I don't know.
So it is cut in half, just FYI.
All right.
Yes. So I still need to know what you got.
21
for damage with his arm bar.
His arm does more damage than the club. It does 2d10 plus 3. I rolled a 10 and an 8.
What's the point of the club?
Multi-attack. That's the point of the club.
So,
rounded up, you take 11 points of damage.
So, I sidestep the club, and I kind of laugh at him, and I see his forearm coming, and I'm just like, uh-oh. And then I'm just, like, off, like, my feet get kicked out underneath me. Like, I just go to pull horizontal before I just hit the ground. And now I'm just laying next to Dala. It's like a crane shot, a pan-out crane shot. And I sound like my broken tooth smile. And finally, I am at peace. I died doing what I loved. Well, I know I'm not dead yet, but I just kind of...
I appreciate that. Now I don't have to describe anything about what just happened. That was glorious and beautiful. And Nebuchadnezzar is now sprawled out on the ground next to Dala.
And I have like the hands to the side. It's a very Christ-like pose. I mean, I'm not...
Of all of the players, I would imagine that your character definitely would be the holiest. Edrahel, You're up.
Pick up my warhammer and fish the fight, Adrael. You know you want to.
I want to. You said. Wait. You said that the troll is paralyzed because of the effect of the venom.
For one round, it had some problems with one of its legs. That's it.
That it has problems with his legs.
It gave it disadvantage on the first attack against Nebuchadnezzar. That's all.
Okay. All right. I'm still better with a bow. So what I'm gonna try to do is use the iron forged bark bow arrows.
Okay.
Right. So I'm gonna use one of those. What was the effect of those? What was the
You had not used them yet, so we didn't see. They deal a D10 of damage.
One D10 of damage?
One D10. And they're barbed, so if someone tries to remove them, they take extra damage.
All right. Where am I? Like, where is the troll in comparison to me?
Pretty close. Like, less than 10 feet away. You've been... basically, the troll is standing up over the bodies that it's now downed of Dala and Nebuchadnezzar. Haley is on the other side of the troll near their two bodies with her bow. You're on the other side behind the troll. Again, range attacks don't get any kind of flanking bonus at the moment, but its back is to you.
Oh, so I get no access to the wound that Nebuchadnezzar already inflicted on him, right?
Like it was on the hip. You can swing over to the side.
I want to do that. Since it was with the venom, one of these arrows, would it get like an extra poison effect because of the skin if I were to pierce it?
I'll allow it.
All right, I'm gonna do it. Let's see if this time I hit. I'm supposed to be an archer, guys. Oh, wait.
We'll stop.
Oh, I should say archer drops like a bow and drops all his arrows.
Okay, your character's failing because you're bad at this game. So.
That's basically it.
Learn how to roll bite dice and get random chance on your side. Like, come on.
Right? Yeah. What is it? Reality check. All right.
Reality check.
Oh, that's a 21. All right.
Thank you, Lord. All
right, so roll a d10, add your dexterity modifier.
Right.
And also a d6 for the poison.
All right, so that would be 9 and the d6, 11.
Okay.
All right.
Whew. Good job.
Your honor has been saved, Adrael. You draw an arrow, you notice the tip of it is actually a little bit weightier than you're used to. The elven make arrows are a little bit thinner and a smaller arrowhead. You draw back and fire. The poison, since it wasn't just on a sword, but was instead just coated over this warhammer, as he slammed into the creature, the troll's flesh tore a little bit. And poison seeped in, but a lot of poison that was just coating the hammer itself slid off in the attack and just was running down the leg of the creature. As you fired your arrow, it coats itself in the poison that's just on the flesh and drives it into its leg. The same poison courses through its veins. It feels that paralysis once again. If it is alive on its next turn, its first attack will again have disadvantage. Good job, Adrael. Eldekar, you're up. Cyrell, you're on deck.
Can I try and go help Nebuchadnezzar?
Yes, you can. So as an action, you can make a medicine check to attempt to stabilize him.
18.
18 is successful. So he is stabilized, will not have to make a death saving throw. Much like Dala, 24 hours from now, he will awaken with one hit point if you are unable to otherwise find a way to restore health. Do you have any bonus actions you would like to take?
I guess I'd take cunning action to try and hide. Can I use that for both of us? Can I like take him with me with cunning action? Is that
Nebuchadnezzar? No, you would not be able to. But you can hide if you would like. Make a stealth check for me.
4.
Okay. we'll see. Cyrell, you're up. Haley, you're on deck.
All right. So Cyrell, like, gets up. He's panting. He's been, like, attacking this troll, him and Onyx going back and forth. He looks up, and he now sees, like, two of the party on the ground at the other troll. He's like, what is going on? So he yells, Will, get the other members to safety. And then he jumps on Onyx. Does that take an action or bonus a move action. Action? What was that?
As a rider of Rohan, that will be a bonus action.
Awesome. And then he points his sword at the troll, and he says, for Rohan! And he says, charge! And
right. Yeah, your horse takes off. The horse speed is enough to get you to the troll, so you can take an attack this turn.
Okay. I just want to get a nat one and just like run right past the troll.
So, I mean, a natural one, he might just run over Haley. Who knows?
Oh, no. No,
he's not rolling for horse movement. He's rolling for his
attack. Oh, man.
So, actually, I'm trying to do a trampoline charge with Onyx. Can I do that?
Yes, definitely.
So,
strength save?
Yeah, DC 14. Does any bonus or anything happen with being flanked or... Does he just
not with that. No, it doesn't affect saving throws. It does fail the 14 saving throw. It's strong, but it only has a +3, and I didn't roll very well. So
all right, so it's not- really cool. So you guys see Onyx just like taking off rolling, and as soon as he gets close, he like just kind of rears up and knocks him, and the target's knocked prone. And it says if the target's prone, the horse can make another attack with its hoofs as a bonus action.
Do it.
Bonus action. So the creature is prone, so he gets Onyx advantage. Gets advantage.
Awesome. Yes, he does.
So Onyx gets, get him Onyx, 23.
That hits. Dang. Onyx is about to murder a couple of trolls. Yeah. Onyx is the best party member.
I'm realizing that.
all right, so he gets 9 bludgeoning damage.
Okay.
Okay, and so he's over Onyx. And then can I, as my action, just my sword up, like sort of kind of roll off of Onyx and just like fall down on the troll to attack him?
I like it.
All right, so, and he's prone, so do I get advantage?
With an advantage, yep.
Awesome. If Cyril takes this guy out on this turn,
so close. 19 again. All right, so 24.
That hits. Surprising how many things that Cyrell is able to do because he has a horse.
It's like won the game for us, essentially. Right,
how much damage?
8 more points of damage.
8 more points of damage. All right, I'm going to roll a D8, and if I get a 6, 7, or 8, something cool is going to happen. Okay. I rolled a 2. Nothing cool happens.
Yeah.
All right, how much damage did you do?
I just did 8 points of damage.
8 right points, there. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So as the horse charges forward, thunk, 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 boom, as it slams into the side, you hear again this cracking of bone as Onyx's hooves dig into the other side of the hip, opposite what had been hit by Nebuchadnezzar's warhammer. You hear a sickening crack as it yells out in pain and falls to the ground. And as it's falling, instead of just Nebuchadnezzar landing back on the ground, Onyx, he kind of shifts a little bit and landing with his full weight of his hooves onto the troll. You hear another crack as it lands onto its stomach. You just instinctively roll off in like a barrel roll, bringing your sword up, landing and digging your sword into the chest of this creature. A fantastic round between the two of you. Haley, you're up.
Okay. So now the troll is prone.
Yes.
So should
ranged attacks have disadvantage on prone creatures.
I'm just going to run up really fast and stab it in the ear with the poison arrow instead of shooting the arrow.
Sure. Disadvantage on a called shot will be negated by the advantage on a prone. So normal attack.
Normal attack. Okay.
Normal attack.
So my attack bonus, does that change at all?
It's dexterity plus proficiency, or strength plus proficiency. I'm going to rule that an arrow is a finesse weapon, so strength or dexterity.
So, that's gonna be... Well, no, so I have, like, an attack bonus listed here in my box, but it doesn't match my dexterity. Do I do both of those?
Your attack bonus for your short bow should be your dexterity modifier and your proficiency bonus added together.
Oh, I think I just did my proficiency bonus. Okay,
yeah, it includes your any ranged attacks. Your attack needs to include your dexterity as well. So.
Okay, so that is a 19.
19 hits.
Yeah.
Nice. So roll damage. Using the arrow as a dagger, it's not going to have the momentum of being projected by a bow. So I'm going to adjust the arrow's damage to a d4, but the poison damage is still a d6.
Okay. So the normal damage is a 3.
Okay.
And the poison damage is a 5.
Nice. Okay.
Does she get to add anything to that modifier? Like plus?
Oh, like my dex? Can I add my dex to it?
You add your dexterity to the damage, yes.
Yep.
To the big
regular
damage.
That's another 3.
Another 3, okay. Did you adjust your short bow damage while we're talking about it? Or your to hit bonus, sorry?
Just now.
Okay.
So it went from and, plus 2 to plus 5.
All right, and your damage that you've been rolling, are you including your dexterity modifier on your range attacks? Okay, good.
Yes. All right. It was just the attack bonus. I was only doing my proficiency.
Okay, cool. You run up with the arrow, poison coursing over its arrowhead. You slide on your knees as you approach the creature, and you bring your arrow down straight into its ear. As the arrow pierces flesh, the poison just immediately filters into its head and begins to twitch as you see the poison take hold. Unbeknownst to you, by giving it the stab where you did, having the poison and all those things kind of coming together in a bit of a perfect storm, I ruled that as a critical hit and doubled the damage. As you sink your arrow into it, you notice it twitch and try to yell, but the paralysis from the venom has fed down into its neck, and it just eyes, a cloud of gray falls over them as it dies.
Yikes.
Good job, Haley.
Yikes. Yikes.
Battered and broken, with Nebuchadnezzar and Dala unconscious on the forest floor, you guys gather your wounded and have to make a decision. Do you want to make camp? If you do, do you want to just stay huddled there for the rest of the day, or does someone want to venture out and look for some sort of healing herb or something that might be used to raise your compatriots before 24 hours from now? And you will have plenty of time to think about that, because this is where we are ending today's session.
Good job, guys. That was awesome.
That was really good. Really, really good.
Good job. Whew, that was crazy.
Those spells were deadly. And I just want to throw this out there to give you a sense of a little bit of the magic. On the journey events, there's tiers of success and failure that can happen. And with the scout roll being a 7, it was failing by a large number. And so it was rough. I'm sorry. However, a lesser failure would have gotten you shadow points, so instead you just had to fight a big terrible creature or two. That was good fun job. You guys did great.
Yay, good job. Hey,
for sorry, Dala, that you dropped on like round 1.
I'm so sorry.
That was really rough. Oh.
Poor Dala.
Oh man,
you got one shot off though, so that still counts.
You got a pretty good hit. Yeah.
It's my fault that the trolls showed up.
Okay, it's a fate of the dice. We all,
you know, so the truth of the matter is that there's only one person to blame, and that's the DM who made the trolls. You know.
Hey guys, why don't we go into our debriefing? Second time, let's do this. So, first question: what were some cool things that someone else did?
I thought when Edrahel and Sorel, they opened up to each other, and they kind of told each other about, their backstories a little bit. And I thought that was really cool because, you know, just more trust and more communication between, you know, the team. And and I really liked when Edrahel was talking about, one thing that stood out to me was like unity. And I mean, that's, you know, what we're doing is we're coming together as a team and really, you know, just giving it our all and helping each other out. So unity is extremely important. And yeah.
Agreed.
Very cool. Good job.
I had two things. Can I say two things?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. Pick the best one.
So the first one I liked John's role playing of the stranger. I thought he did a great job with that and like kept true to the character and that attitude. Like he didn't break, and just like that whole role play was cool. And then I liked when Edrahel connected with Aligos. I keep wanting to say abondigas for some reason.
I'm hungry too.
Which is meatball in Spanish. That was that was a cool moment because like you could tell Edrahel could recognize the significance of the horse. It wasn't just a normal horse.
Very cool.
Nice.
I like when Joel started making all the jokes about his home role playing. It was fun. I laughed.
I came in the story. Okay.
Same. Yeah.
I like when I showed up. To that point, though, actually, one of mine was I liked everything that everyone else said. Opening up was really cool. I loved the elf and John playing the kind of the stranger. That was really cool. And Aldekar, Brian, I thought you did an excellent job. I like your attitude, your tone, like you came in role playing.
Oh,
like,
yeah, he's gonna do that. Was well. A good voice. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I liked Derek in the fight. I thought that he was very creative in the ways he kind of struck and whatever. So I always enjoy that stuff.
Yeah. And utilizing the horse too. Good call.
Thank you. Cool. All right. Anything else? All right. Cool. Good job, guys. All right. Question two. What was a challenging thing for either you, the player, or for your character? Go ahead, Dala. It sounds like you want to share something, Christina.
Being dead half of the time.
Well, if anybody's watching this and actually watched until the end, you would know why I did that. And it was really difficult for me. Okay.
Tell us more. Why
things are gonna things are gonna be okay. Everything's gonna be okay. Hey, I mean,
I hope so. Gosh.
Yes. Hope. But yeah, that was a struggle. I wasn't expecting that. That damage.
A lot of damage.
A lot.
That's a lot of damage.
So that was I don't know. Like, I guess I just wasn't expecting it. So I was like, I'm dead. No, I'm dead.
Well, that's part of the goodness of having a party and people you can rely on is, you know, like your team saved you, you know?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Pick it up. Yeah. And so I think for me, the lesson there is it's not dependent on any one person. You know, you guys have to do this together if you're gonna succeed. And I think in this battle, you took some pretty serious blows for sure, but you kicked butt. You came out on the other side winning.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. Mostly because of a horse, but you know, we won't talk about that.
Yeah.
But you guys softened him up, the troll, with all your arrows.
That's very true. Yeah, he only took out like the last half of its life. You guys did it pretty hard with your arrows.
The last half.
For me, I mean, you already know that, like, I don't have inspirations that I can give out right now. Being the level that we are, I only have two, and we're not getting any long rests. So that's a bit frustrating because, I mean, like, personally, I try to prepare some pretty funny stuff. I can't share it yet. And then also I keep failing my investigation rolls.
What's your intelligence?
It's like 11 or 12, something like that.
Do you have a proficiency in investigation? I was just wondering.
No, because we chose me for the scout because my stealth is so high.
Gotcha. Stealth and investigation are the two big ones. That one just happened to be.
My stealth is a plus 5.
Yeah, that one just happened to be investigation. The DC is 15, so it's not easy on that one. So it happens, you know. Like I said, it ended up being, I think, a great experience for the party. So, I mean, you know, as players, we can't feel bad when we roll poorly because ultimately, we have no control on how the dice lands. I can roll this d20 and I get a 10, or I can get two natural 20s when I'm attacking Joel's character. You know,
and you can.
I can. As
you really can.
But I've never rolled two natural 20s in a row, just so you know. I'm more of a Will Wheaton kind of player in that I tend more towards the ones on a d20. So that was both exciting and I felt really bad.
But well, so I was glad to be on the receiving end of your big blessing that you got, you know.
Thank you, Joel.
What else was challenging?
Creating my character like 2 days ago, it's kind of fun trying to figure out how my character would interact with you guys and like how I use my character, how he attacks, what's my best strategy to like help you guys.
Are you gonna hurt us? Maybe.
That was hilarious. That was hilarious.
That was like a top 5 moment for me so far.
I'm pretty clumsy.
So for me, it was when I took the two nat 20s. After that, I knew I had 5 HP left, and I knew that no one else was a tank in the party. So like, someone has to take the hits. So I was thinking, I'm like, do I dip back and have them sponge a little bit, or do I just go for it? And I think my guy just felt like, you know what, he's here. This is what his role is to do, is to take the hits. And if he can drop Dala that quick, like the rest of the party is just going to go down. At least like maybe not Derek because he has like the armor on, but like the rest of the members, you guys are more like stealthy based class. So you guys just would have gone down like immediately. So my guy just had to. The challenge was just saying, okay, I just have to commit. I have to fully commit. And just, I know that my hit will not kill the thing, but just do it as much as I can before I'm out of the count. So I did.
When I was out Haley got that attack that ended up killing it, it wouldn't have been enough damage if you hadn't hit it, because your hit also set up Edrahel to do more damage. Mm-hmm. So if you hadn't gotten that hit off and it had dropped you, Edrahel would have done less damage. Haley wouldn't have finished it off. And after Haley's turn is you and Dala, who are both unconscious. And after that, it's the troll. So the troll would have gotten up and attacked somebody. And so that one decision was really selfless and I think is a great development for Nebuchadnezzar. It also possibly prevented a third person from being like, two shot into being unconscious. So the ripple effect of your decisions are powerful when you kind of zoom back and look at the overarching thing of what happened. So yeah, you made a great call.
Yeah, well, plus me and Dala as a class, is like her being the warrior and me being the tank, like we if there's people that have to go down first, like, it has to be us. Like, that's what our role is like, is to soak the front end of battle. You know, that's just, you know, so we fulfilled our role to the best that we could. And we turned over
to the warrior that was still upright at the end of the battle. So are you saying
he failed? Well, he was in a whole different fight from us for the most part. And that's like the thing is, like, yeah, he was still filling his role, but like in the current sphere, he was caught up with his own troll. And like that was like its own self-contained deal, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, there wasn't much that he could do for us until he dealt with his own issues.
I actually usually would not recommend a divide and conquer strategy, but in this situation, I think it probably helped you guys out to have the trolls separated for the majority of the fight. So
definitely did, yeah.
Yeah. I think a challenge for Cyril was he loves his horses. He's from Rohan, so like almost like a kid. So I was like, all right, so Cyril might tell Onyx to leave like he did Will or whatever. But then when John said, wait, he's a war horse, I was like, huh, Onyx could do some stuff. I was like, Onyx, we need you. Stay here, boy. So, yeah.
Any other? I would say is not a warhorse, but Onyx, yeah. He's a faithful steed.
I appreciate
Actually,
that.
I was wondering the same thing when you were doing all that. It's like, what can Alakos do? What could we do there? But at the same time, it was kind of like, at first, the first thing that I thought when you were with the trolls on the other side was actually grabbing somebody, like, for example, when Nebuchadnezzar started running, I was like, oh, can I speak now? It's like, no, not yet. Okay, so whenever he started moving, it's like, okay, I'm just gonna, like, mount on the horse and then grab him and then go on the side and try to flank the two horses, at least to get him off your back. But then, like, just, like, waiting until everybody else's turn. And then whenever it gets to your turn, it's like, well, the plan doesn't work anymore because we have a troll here, so might as well do something. And then what you guys were saying about, like, well, it's up to the dice at that moment. It's like, oh, well, yeah, of course, it's a wonderful idea to just, like, shoot the troll in the ear because that's the weakness of it, right? But then the dice doesn't help in that way. So it's like, well, now you got to live with the actions of something that you didn't even plan. Like, you could plan all these things, but it didn't roll the way that you wanted. So now there's another action that you have to take. And just keep going, because the idea was not to give up.
All right, any other challenges? All right, last question. What is something that you can apply to real life? And we've talked about this a little bit, but what's something that you can take from session today?
I think I like what Maglor, is that his name?
Maglor
said, where he was talking about not everyone will approach you with grace, but trying to give them the benefit of the doubt. And I think that's definitely speaks for itself and how it can be applied to everyday life.
Mm. Yeah. That's really good.
I was going to say that we all have different roles and skill sets, and actually it talks about that in Romans 12, how we are one body, but each member has a different, doesn't have the same function. So that to me is like, I mean, it's also coming in unity, like I was saying before, that it's so important to do so. I mean, you know, like you can't go through all of these things alone, and you won't. Especially when you have such a good team, and you know we're responsible, and we're actually doing the things that you know we're called to do. Same with you know this walk with God is, you know, we really have to obey Him, and we really have to just continue to do what He wants us to do. So just really coming together and being there for each other. So.
Yeah, for me, it just, you know, comes down to sometimes when you're in a rough spot, you just have to commit and just be ready to take some blows, but someone has to like do it. So
your costs.
So when you're in that place and no one else can do it, then you just gotta gotta just stand firm and do your best, and don't be scared to take if you hit, because there will always be another fight on a different day where you will do better. So just commit to what you're about, do it to the best, and know that it's not your last fight. It's just, you know, so that's what I got from it.
For me, it's if you're going to hit someone with a club and then your arm, to do it to the best of your ability, and you might just knock them unconscious.
And then if you have very strong arms, still use a weak club, because you don't want to go too hard on the rest of the people. So
it is weird how the club is 2d8 plus 3, but the arm slam is 2d10 plus 3.
It must have to do with like reach. I think that you could look at that club and add an extra 5 feet of reach to it if you really want it, if you wanted to.
Yeah.
I think for me, sort of what Joel was saying, I think just holding the line, because sometimes you have to take the hits, or like for Cyrell, I didn't want him to bring both trolls straight to the party, so that's why I curved off a little bit. And then when I was fighting the troll, like just me and Onyx, like my first thought was I want both of us to disengage back to the party, but then you guys were dealing with the other troll. I was like, I got to stay here and fight this one. And so like, I think just a similar thing. Sometimes you just got to hold the line, you know, it says in Ephesians 6, sometimes you just have to stand, and that's what you got to do, and hold the line for others. So, yeah. I also, and I think John, you got brought this up, it stinks sometimes when you're rolling bad, because sometimes it doesn't feel the greatest, but like there's a lot of good stuff still happening. Like you guys are still distracting the troll. You guys are still able to stabilize both Nebuchadnezzar and Dala. And so that's huge, because it kept them from dying. So I think that's also a good thing to remember, that everything helps. So. Any other thoughts or last things?
I was thinking that even after last time that Edrahel did so bad by losing a horse and all these things, that there was still a ray of hope today when Maglor gave that gift to the group in general. So it's like, whew! All right.
That's cool. Sometimes we think we've lost something, but it's cool how God finds a way to reward us back.
Yep. Fun little piece of info your characters would probably pick up on that the players may not have. I just didn't want to interrupt the RP in the moment. Iluvatar, who he referred to, is the entity who created the Valar, which are kind of like angels, kind of not, kind of. It's somewhere in between. And Iluvatar is considered to be the singular god, the creator. And his residence, instead of being called Heaven, is the Timeless Halls. So, just so that you guys understand the references that Maglor would have made, that your characters would have picked up on.
Really cool.
So,
I want to compare the Lord of the Rings to like possibly like living in the Old Testament, where there's this figure, but they don't know fully about him yet. He hasn't been kind of revealed, and so. Sort of the mindset I have. What was that?
And it's like there's prophets.
Yes.
Yeah.
Cool, guys. Anything else? Good job. That was a good session.
Have fun. It was. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for watching. You're awesome. See you next time.